Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, My Lowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to My Lowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hi, my name is Wendy M. Koch, and I'm the author of A Gray Resort, and you're listening to Ghosts in the Valley with Al Cooley.
Hello and welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley, and welcome to season 8. I'm really excited tonight on my first show for kicking off season 8. It's Christina Bloom. She's my guest. She's been on the show before, and I'm always excited to have her back on. What's cool about this show is I become friends with a lot of the guests and have a nice connection, and I have one with Christina. Before we get into the interview with Christina, I'm going to talk a little bit about 2025. It was a tough year for me. I lost an aunt and uncle in January, back to back. She died a day after he did. Then I lost a brother-in-law. We buried him in this past summer. My father passed away at the end of July. My friend in the band, my band, the Boomers, his mother passed away just recently, a couple weeks ago. And then the end of year off, I got into an automobile accident with my wife, and it was like, but there was some good linings in 2025. I went to a Paracon in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. It was called GoblinCon. What was cool about that was I got to meet a lot of the guests that were on my show were there. I mean, Eric Freeman Sims and Miranda Young, Tim Swartz, Tom Reed, Cinch Rader Hill, and so many others. I bought books and sweatshirts, and it was so much fun. And then on the way home, I had another guest contact me, and she says, "I'm not far from where you're at in Kentucky. Stop by my haunted auction house," which I did, and that was another story in itself there. So there was some silver linings in 2025. And then I had COVID. I never had COVID in my life, you know, and so I was off for a few weeks for COVID. We're hoping for 2026 will be a better year. I know I have a lot of cool guests already lined up, and starting off the year is already fantastic with Christina. So let's get right into my interview with Christina Bloom. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Hey, it sounds like you had an interesting year.
Oh my God, it was like, sometimes you have death in the family, and I know you can relate. And it hit you pretty hard, you know. And mm-hmm. When my brother-in-law passed away, it was like he wasn't just my brother-in-law; it was my friend, you know.
Right.
And then my father passing away—that was tough. That was a big blow. And I tell you, I never had COVID in my life. I mean, I'm 71 years old, you know, and I'm very fortunate that I never had it. I mean, I had the flu, I've had chicken pox, the measles, you know, you name it, colds, but nothing that hit me like that, man.
Right.
And it was, I mean, I've heard people talk about it, and it was just terrible. Yeah. I mean, and then the end of the year, getting to an automobile accident, you know, that happened to be my fault, which I thought, well, you know, why not, you know?
Just get it all over with at one year. Just get it done.
Let's get that out of there. You know, let's kick this new year off with a bang. And you're starting out my season 8, so I'm excited about that.
Yay!
And let me just say a little bit. You know, you're a psychic medium. You've been channeling for over 20 years, man. That's impressive.
Yeah, 25 actually.
Oh, 25. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. And you've also the author of two books that I have down here. I think you have a couple, another one out there. intuitive you, psychic and personal development, and also wisdom for the age of ascension.
Yes.
Both available on Amazon, and also you can pick them up on your website at christinabloom.com. And I'll put those links at the bottom of this episode. And you also have a podcast, Paramystic Podcast with Christina Bloom.
Yes.
It's also available on YouTube and the All Access Network Television.
Yes. Starting another one, actually, as of this morning, we've scheduled I was doing Breakfast with Bobby, just on a YouTube show with a friend of mine for about a year. And I'm not good at production, so it didn't really go as the way that we would like it to. So as of this morning, All Access Network Television has picked up that one too. And January 19th will be our first episode on All Access.
Absolutely. I'm going to get into that also. Yeah. Because I just listened to an episode of yours of that this morning.
Okay.
So I got a few questions for that.
All right.
You know what's weird about that? Was I came across that podcast. I was at Breakfast with Bobby.
Yep.
And it had the three of you on there. And I'm thinking the other girl on there, Bobby.
Yes.
Bobby K. I can't remember her last name.
Klebanow.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I'm looking at, I'm thinking, okay, I think I've seen her before. I heard of her before. And then I'm searching through the web, not for just any certain thing, but then it popped up that she was your guest the today on.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
She and was.
Like, oh, she I was. Thought, well, I just listened to that podcast before that, you know, with her, you know, thinking okay. that was weird, you know, so.
Yeah. You've invested a couple hours of time today.
I did because I was outside putting my Christmas decorations away. You know, so.
See, though, there you go. Background noise.
Yeah. And I always listen to a podcast. I've got so many in my library, you know, and that's another I just added today, you know, so I like,
awesome.
I tell you what, you said you didn't have much experience on doing that.
On production, yeah.
On production, but I thought it was very well done. I mean,
well,
I like
thank you.
Because you didn't have we'll get into that later. But yeah, that was really cool. And so my first thing off the question is, tell my listeners a little more about yourself. I know you're psychic medium and channeling. I want to break those down, you know.
Okay.
What is the difference between a psychic, a medium, and channeling?
Okay. So a psychic can pick up on information from wherever. It's intuitive. Sometimes it's claircognizant, just, you know, pops into your head. Sometimes it's clairsentient. You just get a feeling about something. That can also include premonitions, premonition dreams. All kinds of stuff falls under the general category of psychic, including mediumship and channeling. So mediumship and channeling are two separate things that are more specialized. So mediumship is specifically talking to those who have passed on. So if you came to me for a mediumship reading, I would be able to help you connect with the people you just mentioned who have passed away, you know, your parents, anyone who's connected to you, who you would want to speak with, we can invite them to come and have a conversation with us. But it's always their choice. You know, we call and they decide whether or not they're going to pick up the phone. It's basically that the way that works. Okay. Channeling, trance channeling specifically, which is what I do, I literally step aside and allow someone else, another entity, to use my body. Now, I've got rules around that because I'm not letting just anybody step in and use my body, right? So It has to be someone of a higher vibration. Christ is a good example. I've channeled him several times. The Marys, Bartholomew, which is a collective, much like Abraham with Esther Hicks. Bartholomew is like that. So there are several that I channel, including some extraterrestrials. In the past year, I started channeling a Bigfoot who comes through me and speaks. He's very particular about when and why. You know, usually it's a direct message to somebody, individual. So it's, you know, he's not a big stage guy. He just individual messages, channeling healers that have come through, that kind of thing. So that's the difference. I am not really present. I'm somewhat vaguely aware of what's happening, but anyone who has seen or heard me channel will tell you the voice is different. Sometimes my face changes. Sometimes my whole body changes. You know, I'll get much bigger or much smaller during the channeling. So that is a separate category from both mediumship and general psychic.
Yeah, because I've heard before, you know, I've had psychic mediums on my show before, and people can channel. Mm-hmm. But I was told that, you know, just because you're a psychic doesn't mean you can, you're a medium.
Right.
So, you know, I was always put those together, you know, so I was educated on that, you know. And
a lot of people do. A lot of people do put them together. And, you know, it's like all mediums are psychic, not all psychics are mediums.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Basically. Yeah.
Right. And I just find that fascinating, you know, because I had a guest on and she did nothing but channel Lenny Bruce.
Oh, you know, wow. So, that's interesting.
Right, right. And I, you know, and I
need to look for that episode.
Yeah, or look for that one that went up. You know, it's so interesting on the guest I have on and the gifts that you have. Sometimes they'll say it's a gift, or sometimes it's a curse. Some of them can't shut that down. Does it work to you like that? I mean, can you shut it down, or is it a curse? Is it a pain in the butt? Because
interestingly, I don't really feel like it's ever been a curse.
Okay.
I did come to the conclusion after I started trans channeling, which kind of came out of the blue and hit me out of nowhere. But after that, it came to me that I needed to have a contract in place with the universe so that I get a break. At the time, I was a single mom with small children. I couldn't just be at the beck and call of spirit. I had physical beings I needed to take care of. So I sat down with pen and paper and wrote a contract with the universe to make it very clear for myself, these are the boundaries. So, you know, when I'm driving, absolute no, you cannot come and jump in my body when I'm driving, because most of them would not know how to drive the car anyway.
Mm-hmm. distraction, you know.
Yeah, very distracting. And it did happen, which is why that went in the contract.
Okay.
You know, the other thing is when I am spending time with my children, or at this point now my grandchild, no, that's my family time. You can't intrude on my family time. When I'm cooking, heat sharp objects, trans channeling. No, it's not a good idea. Not a good idea. Maybe, I don't know, maybe a chef, but other than
you,
that, no.
You mentioned you channeled extraterrestrial.
Yes.
Would you say that, well, like an alien?
Yes.
It's interesting to me. Now, how does that work that way? I mean, how did that come about, even to channel a extraterrestrial?
You know, I was teaching an advanced class in psychic development, and the lesson that night was channeling, and came through during that lesson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that door was opened, and we did a lot of really fun stuff in that class. That was before the shutdown and, you know, having to close my on-site office. But yeah, that was interesting. That's how that came about, was it, a Pleiadian came through during the class and was speaking to my students. Wow. And it's happened several times since. And most recently, an Andromedan named Alexi has been coming through. So that's another level, I guess.
Are some of these recurring that they come back again?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I don't think I've ever had anyone channel through me that was like a one-hit wonder or anything like that. You know, I feel like, you know, we develop a relationship. They're using my energy. They're using my voice. They're using mm-hmm. my vocabulary. So, you know, there's a relationship that gets developed in that. So they do come back again.
Then you had mentioned Christ. That one perked me up there. I was like,
yeah,
that has to be.
That's a trip.
Wow. That's
yeah, wow. That's a trip. That one is I really love channeling that energy, because it is the most pure, how do I say, soft yet strong.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very high vibration. Like, it's hard for me to let go of that one, because it feels so good just to have that energy coursing through my physical form.
When did you know you had this gift? I mean,
The channeling or the general?
No, about it, any of it. I mean, when did it start?
It started actually very early childhood. It started with prophetic dreams when I was just old enough where people could understand what I was saying. So maybe 2 or 3 years old. I woke up in the middle of the night crying, but it after I'd had the dream where I walked into a room in my grandparents' house, which in this dimension was a home office. They had a home electrical business. So there was a desk in there, but in my dream, it was a hospital bed and there was a lady in the bed. And I think what I remember most is that my grandmother had one of those expandable step stools. I mean, I've got one now, but you know, but she had painted it bright yellow. I don't know why, but that sticks with me. I mean, it was next to the bed. And in the dream, I climbed up on this thing and I kissed the lady on the head and I pulled a sheet up over her head and I woke up crying. And I was hysterical, apparently. I mean, you know, the story's been told, right? Uh-huh. So that, which it's not like I remember all of this. I remember the retelling of the story. But it happened 6 times. But the first time it happened, my mom finally got me calmed down. I don't know how long, but she seems to think it was quite a long time. And she picked up the phone in the morning. Now, remember, this is like 1970, right? So she picked up the phone in the morning to call her mom. And at the same time, her mom was calling her. So neither one of them heard a phone ring, but they were instantly connected because they were calling at the same time. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother was calling to tell my mom that an uncle she had never met, that I obviously had never met, who lived in Sweden, had passed away. The lady who was in the bed, after a few times of this happening, they finally pulled out the family album and said, "Do you know this lady? Can you pick her out?" And it turns out it was my great-grandmother on my mom's dad's side. And I'm named after her. Okay. So that's who the lady was in the bed. And she had literally died in that room when my mom was in high school.
Wow.
So I never knew her, but so that's how that started. And I had that dream 5 or 6 times, and every single time it was one of the family members from that branch of the family. I believe they all lived in Scandinavia, who had passed away. And then once I got into about junior high school, then it became more while I was awake and more conscious kind of thing. So it's literally been my whole life.
Yeah. Have you ever had like where you're talking about all this? I mean, like, you know, this is way too much. You know, you got to slow down.
Yeah, I have at different times where I've just gone, I can't take it anymore. Stop with the noises. The thing that I was probably 12 maybe before I finally figured out that not everybody else was doing this, you know, because somebody at school finally said to me, "Stop being weird." I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." They're like, "Well, you seem to know stuff and we don't want to hear about it." And I'm like, uh-huh. "You don't know stuff?" And they're like, "Not like that." Okay. Yeah, I literally did not know that other people weren't doing it. Because, you know, when you're a kid and you do something, you assume everybody does it, right?
If I had a dollar for every guest that said they were called crazy or lunatic or out there, including myself, you know, I'd be a millionaire, man.
Right?
Especially in your line of work. I mean, yes. Mine is I've just seen a ghost, you know. And the experiences I went through for 5 years as a 12-year-old child. So imagine, same as you, you know, you're just a child, you know, so right. This is all coming to you. And as the years go on, you progressed your talents.
Right.
And your ability. I got to applaud you, you know, because I know all the stuff that you're involved in. You know, I do have followed you, you know, you and Rez have been on my show before. And, it's just amazing. And I'm going to get into a couple other topics there, but
I think
that is amazing, the work you do and putting that all aside with ghosts. You know, I've never seen a ghost in my life. You know, I'm 12 years old. I don't know what it is. You know, and so when you question that 1967, 1968, it's different because the society back then was different.
Yes, very much so.
And I think that's what's important about my show and important about your show and all the other shows out there is there's shows you can go to. Not if it's not just mine, go to another one. You know, there's somebody out there that can talk to you about a UFO or talk to you about an alien or talk to you about a psychic medium or talk to you about, you know, channeling or getting a hold of somebody. And mm-hmm. I know you run classes, and I know you want to get into that also. And because, you know, it's important. Yeah. I really do think it's important that people can contact you and get a hold of you, because there's people out there who are going through some trauma that don't know how to deal with it. And I think with a little bit of help, spiritual help, and I know you're into Reiki. And
I am a Reiki master teacher, okay. But after I had my last near-death experience in 2014, I've just really felt strongly to shift over to the spiritual work as opposed to the healing work, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Although the spiritual work I do is very healing. You know, once you've learned something like that, you don't lose it. It's just not part of my menu anymore. But the wonderful thing about any kind of energy healing is that it doesn't have anything to do with the quote healer. It's all about the person receiving the energy. They're the ones who draw the energy through the healer that they need to heal themselves. So I love that, because nobody is turning their power over to a healer. You know, it's all about the person who's receiving it and their choice to receive the healing and how much of it.
So what would you say the difference is between Reiki and shamanic teachings?
I've had shamanic teachings as well. I just, it's not part of my menu. That's more of a personal.
Oh, it's not? Okay. I thought it was.
Yeah. It's not part of my menu, but I have been through, I did 3 years of submersive shamanic training, like living there.
Okay. Maybe you said that before.
I might have said that before. Yeah.
Ring a bell.
Honestly, the only real difference that I have been able to see is the degree of interaction with the practitioner. Because the shamanic practitioners will go on journeys for you.
Oh, really?
The shamanic practitioners will go on journeys for you. Where the Reiki is more just running of energy and letting it do what it does. Mm-hmm. The shamanic is more active. It's more set in ritual. It's more set in specific ways of doing things. And of course, there's no one way to be a shaman. Right. There's because there's so many. It really depends on where you learned from. Uh-huh. It depends on, you know, if you grew up with it. It depends on, you know, is it Native American? Is it shaman? Is it African? You know, there's different uh-huh. names for it all over the world. But it all has to do with the different ways that energy comes through and the different rituals around it.
Yeah, I went to one. It's called the White Barn Healing Tent. I forget the Indian tribe that comes in every year, and they set the teepee up in around March, and they take it down at the end of fall.
Okay.
And when we did it, you know, we went in the tent. You know, you have to take your shoes off, and when you go to the tent, and then you you walk left to right.
Yes.
To go around into the tent.
Always. Always.
And I thought, I yes. don't thought that the big deal, but she says, you always walk left to right.
Sunwise. That's what they call it. We call it clockwise.
I tell you what, I was limping going in there, right? I don't know, it could be a mind thing or what. I was leaving there and my knees were fine, man. It's like, I must say healed, but you know, I was, mm-hmm. it was an experience, an uplifting experience. And she's such a wonderful person that runs this tent.
I love that.
But it's a White Barn Healing Tent in Ravenna, Ohio. And I want to touch on that for a minute, you know, I think Reiki is very, very important. How do you say, I mean, between Christianity and spirituality, the difference on separating the two?
Rules and regulations.
I was told that because I'm glad you said that.
I mean, you know, that's like the bottom line. Yeah, it's rules and regulations. Right, spirituality is just whatever you believe and however you choose to live your life.
Right. We just talked about that today because, you know, you talk about Catholics and they for years you couldn't be a woman priest. I don't know if you can today or not.
I have no idea.
I'm a Catholic and converted. I was a Methodist growing up. You know, so you grew up in a church that. Where you're talking about rules and regulations, you know, man was the head of the household, the head of the church, mm-hmm. you know. And so it's like this Reiki session was run by a woman. I've been to a couple others that were run by women, you know, and there was no conflict.
Right.
When I married my wife, she had to be Catholic in a church. So that was another role, you know. So going back to spiritualism, you know, with the Ouija board, you know, a lot of people said that was the time you separated, like, say, Christianity from spirituality. I've had a guest on that said that. I never really thought about it, but I always thought that, you know, even with a Ouija board, seances, or anything you're doing like that, just to close out the session.
Right, right. And to have good intentions to begin with.
Close a portal.
Yeah. Here's my take on Ouija boards. First of all, they were not meant to be a game. Hasbro or somebody picked it up, Mattel maybe, I don't know. Some toy manufacturer picked it up. I don't know where the name Ouija came from. I don't remember, but it's originally just called a talking board. And it's
right,
not,
yeah.
Yeah, Ouija is a brand name, basically. So my only issue with that particular tool is that it's not sold as a tool in a lot of cases. It is sold as a toy, and there is no direction on how to set a safe space, on how to open and close a portal, how to use it properly. That's really, I mean, it's like, to me, it's no different than a pendulum. It's no different than divining rods or tarot cards or anything. It's just really a matter of, do you know how to use it in a safe and proper way? That's what it boils down to for me.
Yeah, I had Bishop James Long on the show, and he was talking about, he was totally against anybody getting a Ouija board. But he said, if you're going to get a Ouija board, if you have to have a Ouija board, buy it new, because you don't know what you're getting when you buy it at a garage sale or say buy sell trade or whatever,
right,
place or whatever thing like that, because you don't know what you're buying. You know how many times this thing has never been closed out.
Right.
That was his, and I never thought about that, you know.
And you know, I mean, the same with tarot cards, I guess. You know, although you can cleanse anything, right? You can cleanse the energy off of anything if you know how to do it. My thing about that is somebody was touching those components when they put it together. Right. Somebody was, you know, using the printer when they had that printed on there. So there's still going to be energy putting into it. Anytime I get any kind of a tool, and even if I buy something secondhand, even if it's, you know, a salad bowl, whatever, I'm going to cleanse it. Right? I'm not going to drag somebody else's energy into my house.
Yeah, it goes with anything like, you know, these haunted dolls or anything from the home, you know, that's right. You said, it's not, it hasn't been cleansed. Or, well, I'm going to get back real quick to you were talking about the breakfast with Bobby.
Yeah.
Is that coming back as the same title? Same.
Yes.
Okay. The one episode I listened to today was called Death, Dying, and the Afterlife. I love that because, you know, I love learning on this show and I love certain things I never heard before. And this one I never heard before, Topa. And you were saying it was a group of college kids that created a ghost.
Yes.
I never heard of that.
And they've done it more than once.
I never heard of that, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A tulpa is something, it's an energy that takes form because people put energy into it. And the thing is that energy is malleable, right? So we create our own lives. We create our own worlds. We create our own experiences. And we can create that experience as well. But what they had was, I believe it was a psychology class, and I wish I could remember. I'm sure somebody is going to put it in some comment somewhere about which college it was, because I don't remember which one it was. But they literally created this being, this ghost, that took physical form based on their description. Like, because we can do that. Uh-huh. We can do that. That's a tulpa.
Topa, I never heard of that. You know, I was like, I have to ask you that. You know, because when I have these guests on, you know, and they come up with certain, I never heard. I honestly, God, I never knew what a fae was till like 3 years ago.
Okay, so,
like a fairy, you know. Mm-hmm. But and then the Indians, Native American Indians, had their own little legend on them little people.
Yes,
you know, and they weren't always nice little people.
No.
So had a fae witch on the show, and that was interesting, you know. So I always learned new things and knew what a doppelganger was, and you know, a wood booger. You know, you hear about Sasquatch and Swamp Ape. Bigfoot, you know, I never heard it called a wood booger, you know.
Okay.
Dogman, I never did. I want to get more into the dogman because I'm getting a lot of stories coming to me from dogman. So what's your thought on the cryptids?
You know, I don't really know that much about it, but I do know that the only one that I've really had any extensive contact with would be the Bigfoot.
Okay.
I'm aware of, I mean, I live in Wisconsin. You may have heard of the Beast of Bray Road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I used to actually live in that area, which it's only like an hour or so from where I am now. But I've been up and down Bray Road several times and not seen anything, but it doesn't, you know, it's not like this cryptid said, oh, that's my name. Now I have to stay on this road. You know, he's been seen other places. You know, I just watched recently a documentary on Mothman, which I thought was interesting. There's the Owlman in England. I have been aware of, and other people have seen, you know, it's like where they see the Bigfoot and as they're looking at it, it just sort of fades away. And I've heard a lot of people say that, like it just disappears or it'll turn around to walk away and it's gone. Like it didn't even walk anywhere. It just turned around and disappeared. So I tend to think that they are interdimensional. And I have seen a lot of people saying, I mean, I don't know what we can call evidence, you know, but a lot of people saying that when there are Bigfoot around, there are also spaceships around. I do know that we are discovering, as a species, we are discovering other species that have probably been here for eons that we didn't even know about, but there they are. So maybe it's a combination of things. I'm not really sure what, I don't think cryptids fall under one category except cryptid.
On that same show with Bobby, you were talking about moving a spirit on and being caught in a loop.
Yeah, residual haunting.
Residual haunting. So if you're caught in a loop, residual haunting, my question was, can you move that spirit on?
I think it depends on why they're there and whether they choose to stay there. Because, you know, we still have choice even when we don't have a body. So, you know, if someone is very happy mopping the same floor for eternity, let them be happy if that's what they want to do. There are others who, you know, sometimes I will be able to snap them out of it enough to get their attention, snap them out of their routine enough to get their attention and ask, do you want to move on? Because if you do, I can call someone to help you. You know, I don't ever think that I have the power to move another being somewhere else. Right. That's not within my realm, but I can call for help. You know, if they say, yeah, I want Jesus to come and get me. Jesus never says no. Never.
So would you say you're moving the spirit on to heaven, or you move it on to another realm?
Wherever it is that they need to go. You know, I don't.
On Earth. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't presume to know that. You know, people have their own belief systems. And if they believe that when they die, they go to heaven, then okay, let's get you there. You know, if they believe they go to Valhalla, okay, let's get you there. If that's where you want to go, let's get you there. If you want to hang out on Earth, that's cool too.
I think it was that, you know, one was stuck in a room for 100 years saying the same thing because they don't know. You're not loop, you know, and to me. And that's another thing with time, you know, time and death. There's so many questions when you died. I don't know if anybody ever will have that answer if you don't come back. So, I mean, myself in my time when my time was near and when I had my heart attack and in a Cleveland clinic, you know, so I know I was heading into the light. So, and it was a feeling I can't explain. Such a warm, like you talked before, like a warm feeling, you know.
Yeah.
Probably the same feeling when you talk to Christ, you know, you get this warm feeling that's hard to explain. It can't even put in words, right? So, but then that light turns that I'm heading into, turns into the light above me in the ER. So it's like it wasn't my time yet. So, and I feel I have a guardian angel. So that's my next question to you. What leads up to that? Was the guardian? What's your thought on guardian angels? Do we all have one?
I don't know if everyone has a guardian. I do know that several guardians have made themselves known to me, and they're not all angels.
Okay.
So, like, I have a guardian who is a Bigfoot. He's been with me my whole life. I've always known about him. Even as a little kid, I knew about him. They tend to keep us safe physically. You know, they're the ones who call your name and stop you from stepping out in front of a moving car or whatever. You know, whether it's an angel, a Bigfoot, a column of light, whatever it is, you know, guardians can come in any form they want to, basically. So guardian angels, I think, is a very common phrase. But I think it also has a lot to do with belief systems. You know, if you believe that your guardian is an angel, then your guardian is an angel because that's what you've called in.
Right. You know? Right. Because not everybody believes in heaven and hell.
Right.
So, yeah. So what would your guardian be? I believe I do have one because even in my book, multiple times, even in recently, you know, where you have some that's you're protected, you know,
yes,
and I can't explain it. So I've had guests on this show that know who their guardian angels are, or they know who their guardian is, you know,
right.
They can, then maybe one, maybe two, maybe they have multiple, you know, and I can't name mine. I don't know who it is. So is it Jesus? Is it I call her Alice in my book. Is it Alice? I don't know. You know, I know that when I was, I opened up my second book, it's not out yet, but I opened up the chapter with, I'm being told not to walk across this trestle across the river, you know. Don't do it. Don't go. And it's the same voice from her. And naturally I did it, you know. And,
of course.
And I'm here, you know. So it's like, you know, I'm told over and over and over again, I'm kind of given a warning of not to do, and I do. Or something happens and I'm should be gone and I'm here. So many things. That's over and over and over again. I don't believe in coincidence. I think everything happens for a reason. But I was good on that show. I really did like that show. I listened to it.
Thank you.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that it's coming back. It's the same three people, Marcus, you, and?
It's Bobby and I, and Marcus comes on sometimes as a guest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So just basically mainly the two of you.
Yeah. And we do have other guests as well. You know,
that'll be much easier having all access doing your show for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gwen is my new guardian angel.
I met her when I was on your show. I mean,
yeah, she's amazing.
She's fantastic. I never met her before, and she seemed like a really nice person.
She really is, and she's become a very dear friend.
And she's got a lot of shows under her belt, so that's pretty cool.
She does.
You know, I was going into that, you know, being Catholic, and you're talking about when you die, you have that time there. Catholics believe that in purgatory, you know, so you get a little bit of time after you die. Where growing up in a Methodist, they don't believe in that.
Right.
You're either going straight to heaven or you're going straight to hell. I mean, there's no in between. There's no roaming the earth. And if you talk about that, and I have, that you don't even talk about it.
Yeah. Growing up Lutheran, it was, and having Catholic grandparents on one side, it was like, you know, they're like, well, it's purgatory. And I just remember my mom one time looking at, I don't know, one of her parents and going, oh, that's just BS, you know? Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, sometimes I have gotten the feeling from some of the spirits who are still wandering the earth that they feel like they are in purgatory waiting to find out if they're going to heaven or hell, which has been interesting. Not a lot of them, maybe a handful of them over the years, but there have been some.
I can understand, you know, but you're going to be judged at the hour of death, I believe, you know, but is it a minute? Is it a month? Is it a year or is it forever? I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. Does time exist outside of this particular construct?
Yeah, and that was fantastic on your show when you're talking about time and death, you know, it's we're the ones to put all the emphasis on time, you know, and
we
aging,
do.
Yeah, and dying.
Yeah, aging ain't for sissies. That's what I'm finding out.
Oh, you got that right. I know your biggest tool has to be you.
Yes.
Yes. Has to be. I almost every second being will tell me that. So with that being said, when you go into an investigation, do you like to know beforehand or
no.
Like a clean slate? You like a clean slate?
I like to go in with zero information.
So you're not
Yeah. I don't want to be influenced.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. 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 I like to go in with absolutely no information at whatsoever.
Have you been called on because of your experience to for an investigation?
I have. Yeah. Yeah. It's it is interesting because when I started doing investigations 20 plus years ago, it wasn't about finding the most famous location. It wasn't about, you know, going somewhere because it's a scary place to go. It was about helping people. We were getting calls to go into people's homes and find out what is causing the problem here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Doors opening and closing, windows opening and closing, electronics turning on and off, sometimes objects flying across the room, poltergeist activity. You know, it was really about helping people. And that's why I got into it. I didn't get into it necessarily to go to these famous haunted locations, you know?
Right. I've always said that, you know, my favorite are the off the beaten path, you know?
Yeah.
These houses you never heard of. I love that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting, you know, because with your line of work, and I'm talking also about like law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been called in on a
I have
or,
not
or missing child or.
Yeah, I have not because I've not put myself out for there for that.
Okay.
I'm a little too tender hearted to get involved with crime, especially where children are involved. I mean, I would absolutely be devastated if I was the one who found a didn't end well abduction or something. Mm-hmm. That could destroy my spirit. I just don't do it because I'm way too tenderhearted.
Yeah. Or family. Is it tougher for family for you to?
I don't like to do readings for family members because I know them too well. I would rather somebody who doesn't know them come in clear and without information.
Could you be more one-sided then, right?
Yeah, you can definitely be influenced. We can all be influenced.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I just wouldn't want to put my family members or even close friends in a position to be guided in a way because I'm biased.
You know? I needed you, man, back in 1967. I needed you in this house.
Because, I was born in 1967, so. Okay.
Well, you might have been a little bit young, but.
Maybe a little.
We went from 67 to about 71, 72. Yeah. And I just had so many questions. And my number one advocate was my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she always thought that one person who, she always thought outside the box, you know what I'm saying? So, and she always had her own special remedies. She believed in all the superstitions. And she's another one that was, don't ask your grandmother. You know? Well, she's the one I always went to because she's the one who listened to me. And it turned out I wasn't the only one in this house that seen or heard the spirits. You know, there's more than one. But it took me a couple of years to figure out there was more than one. Yeah. And it's something, you know. So my area would be seeing a ghost and a full apparition. You know, that's only twice in the 5 years that I've seen her. But now that doesn't mean that I haven't had contact with her that whole time because there's always signs, you know.
Right.
But, you know, seeing her, you know, my sister, my two uncles, you know. But my mother, man, I'll tell you what, she's a tough cookie, you know. She, I couldn't tell you many times I was being grounded and put in my room because I talked about it. And like you said, you can't go to school. You're bullied or picked on. Here comes crazy Cooley again, you know, with his imaginary friend, you know.
Yeah.
That's why one podcast host asked me, why didn't you talk? Why did you take 50 years to write a book? Well, because you can't, who do I talk to?
Right.
Now it's out there where I have so many avenues and you have so many avenues that you can go to. So many people that you can help and talk about. You know, so that's what's so cool about my show and your shows and so many others. Before we get off here, I want to talk real quick about your two books.
Yes.
What are those about exactly?
Intuitive View is actually the first level of my psychic development program. It is a textbook, but it's written in a way that you can do it independent study or within the context of a class. There's extra note pages in it. There are well-described practice exercises to be able to tap into your spiritual abilities. It's written on the premise that everyone has them. Not everyone knows how to recognize them. So it helps people recognize how their intuition or psychic ability works for them, and then gives them options for what to do with it. You know, some people just want to know they're not crazy and they're good with that and they get on with their lives. Other people want to help other people with it. Other people want to, I don't know, get on TikTok and be famous. Everybody's got their thing, but it's about learning how to tap into your innate intuitive abilities. That's the whole book. And that's level one. There are two more levels coming. The other one is kind of a remake of a poorly written book I put out years ago. and it's 150 separate, like you read them as a daily meditation sort of thing. So it's not a story. Each page is its own thing.
Okay.
And, and again, there's room at the bottom to make notes if you want to do that, for meditating on and that sort of thing. So those are the two books that I have out. I am working on a third book. Well, the next two levels of intuitive you I'm working on, but I'm also working on another book about how my son and I work together with him on the other side and me on this side. So that's my next project that I'm hoping to have out this year.
That's gotta be heartwarming. It really does.
And hard to write. I have to say,
gotta be hard to write.
Yeah. That's what's taking. I mean, he'll be gone 3 years next month. And I'm just getting to the point where I'm ready to pick it up again. So I started right away after he passed and I just couldn't keep going on it. I needed to take the time to do some healing.
And that was my problem with writing my book, because I'm going off of true experiences, mm-hmm. things that actually happened.
Yes,
I'm laying in the middle of the night, and every time something would pop in my head, I get up and I write down on a notepad next to my bed. You know, so it's like, or my sister would call, "Hey, did you put this in there? You can't forget this." But when you got to the point, I get to the part where a friend of mine committed suicide, and I didn't put his name mm-hmm. out there, and that was hard, man. I'm even though it's been 50 some years, I'm reliving that moment.
Yeah,
and that's hard. It's tough, and people say, "Oh, that didn't happen," or it doesn't matter, because
it doesn't matter.
I am so glad I put that out there and I got a lot of this stuff out there. Yeah.
There are a couple more things that I'd like to mention that I don't think I sent you information on. One of them is I spent almost 2 weeks in England in May, last May, and I was with a friend, both of us psychics, and we created a TV series called Into the Void. And it's in the number two, The Void, because there are two psychics, two different continents. And we did 10 paranormal investigations in 10 different locations in 5 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah. But the episodes are 30-minute episodes. They are fully produced and ready to go. We're looking for a home for them. But I wanted to put that out there because I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of the work that we did there. I'm very, very happy that we did it. It was an amazing opportunity and it was an amazing trip. And I'm really happy about that. The other thing is, just real quick, I have a merchandise site.
Okay.
Website. Yeah. It's a printify.me website. And it's mine is Pure Intuitive Magic. So there's all kinds of products that I have out there. My logos and then just some sayings and some cups and phone cases and t-shirts and sweatshirts and, that sort of thing.
And how about people want to go to your classes or?
Oh, yeah. My name, ChristinaBloom.com. It's real simple. My calendar is on there. I have to double check and make sure that it updated correctly. Yeah. I've been having
some technical issues. Send me all your information. I'm going to put the links at the bottom here so they can all see your information on your merchandise, your I hope you really do find land a spot for those episodes. That sounds really interesting.
Oh, it was amazing.
Where in England was that?
Oh, it was all over England. It was, we started out in, was it Leeds or York? I don't know. We did Leeds, York, Pontycraft, another one whose name I always struggle with. We went to, obviously, Avebury and Stonehenge, Stratford-upon-Avon, Glastonbury. Yeah, it was amazing. We actually did Stonehenge and Avebury in the same day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you come home and get a vacation from your vacation?
Kind of. Yeah. I sort of came home and I sat comatose for about 3 days.
Sounds, you know, in 30-minute episodes, I think that'll be a hit, man.
Yeah. I'm so excited. And we did not use any of the equipment, except we did use a pendulum in one episode. That was it. The rest of it was all us.
Oh, fantastic. Wow.
Psychometry, you know, touching different buildings and whatever, and lots of fun stories that came out of it, lots of good evidence that came out of it. So, I'm very excited about this project, and we are actively looking for a home for it because we don't just want to throw it up on YouTube with everything else. You know, it gets lost in the sea there.
Right, right. And it's too important for that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, Christina, I really love having you on there. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Especially after you get these episodes out there.
It's going to be fun.
I'll be the first one to buy it or lease it or whatever.
Whatever, however that works, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'll put the all your links at the bottom.
Okay, great.
Again, thank you very much for coming on, and it's always a pleasure.
Well, thank you. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Take care.
Thank you, Christina Bloom. And please check out the links at the bottom of this episode, where you can go and buy Christina's two books, Intuitive View, Psychic and Personal Development, and also Wisdom for the Age of Ascension, both available at christinabloom.com or Amazon. I'm your host, Al Cooley. I'll see you in 2 weeks with another great episode on Ghosts in the Valley podcast.